Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll start at verse 2. Deuteronomy 8 and 2. The Bible reads, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Now, I want to pick up from where we left off on last Sunday, and we were speaking from the subject or the topic, the necessity of the wilderness before moving forward. The necessity of the wilderness before moving forward. Now, my point being that wilderness is necessary. Now, we define wilderness for the sake of this teaching, if you will, as any place that leaves you totally dependent upon God. Amen. Any place that leaves you totally dependent upon God. You could find yourself in a wilderness financially. You could find yourself in a wilderness within your family. You could find yourself in a wilderness on your job. You can, so don't, I don't want to, you know, well, I, Pastor, I ain't never been to no desert. This has nothing to do with where your physical location is. Because when you find yourself totally dependent upon God, and then you say, well, Pastor, that's the way we're supposed to live. Well, you know what? I beg to differ that. I believe that wilderness is somewhere God allows us to go to learn to become dependent upon him. But it's then, he, once we mature in that capacity, he can release you. Paul said, listen, I've learned the secret of this thing. I know how to be abased and how to abound. In other words, I could go on any of the extremes and still make it. It don't matter. Amen. Because I learned the secret. And then he goes on to say what the secret is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But there was something he learned, and that's what I believe we need to do. Can you learn to do it? Can you learn to walk in this thing with God when it's abased and when it's abounding? That's where God really wants us at, not just in the wilderness. Well, that's like two amens. Okay. The rest of y'all can stay there then, if that's what you want. He left them folks there for 40 years, so they couldn't get it right, so okay. See, I'm trying to really learn, what is God doing in our lives? What is he really trying to accomplish? You know, the whole goal of Christianity is you be conformed to the image of Christ. It's not just, oh, well, you know, well, okay, I'm saved, hallelujah. If that's the whole goal, why you didn't just get saved and die? There must be something else. So what is the necessity of the wilderness in our lives? We want to move forward in the things of God. We want to accomplish things. We want to do things. Why is the wilderness necessary? Let's just talk for a moment. Whet your appetite so we don't have to go back and cover everything from last Sunday. Are you aware? Let's just look at a couple people here. Let's think about, I want to make sure I cover all, everybody I want to talk about for a second. I was looking at this and I got to thinking. The Bible says, and I was thinking about this, Exodus chapter 3, the Bible talks about, you don't have to go there, it talks about Moses was on the backside of the desert. You know that the word desert, it literally is the Hebrew word, and you know what it means? Wilderness. Why did God take Moses through the wilderness before he led people? I mean, let's look at this. Let's really, do you realize how many times, do you, watch this. Before David reunites the kingdom that had been split with Saul, you know where he ends up? In the wilderness. That's what Saul is chasing him, in the wilderness. You remember Elijah, when Elijah is sitting up under the juniper tree? You know where he's at? In the wilderness. Why is the wilderness such a necessity in the lives of people? Can I really ask you the real thing we don't want to talk about? Why do we hate it so much? Oh, we hate the wilderness. Dependent on God. Can't have stuff my own way. You know, Eden was not a wilderness. Why? So when God bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, first thing he do is, all right, let's go. Here's the wilderness. First place he leads them. See, most of us read the Bible and think that there must not have been anywhere else to go. Yes, it was. It was another route that was shorter. Y'all ready now? I'm trying to show the necessity of the wilderness in our lives. So just because you know a shorter route don't mean that's the one that God's going to take you in. That's why when we figure it out, you know we always looking for the easy way. So let's look at this. My second point, because we covered the first one last week, and I'm not going to go through all of that. I don't have time for sake of time. I want to respect your time. So my second point is this. Everyone will have wilderness experiences. Now, well, what does that mean? Everyone will have wilderness experiences. Well, sometimes we think we're in the wilderness because we've done something wrong. What if you found out that you could be in the wilderness and it had nothing to do with you doing something wrong? What if you're in the wilderness because you're doing what's right? Well, Pastor, what do you mean? That God wouldn't do that, would he? Well, let's read the scriptures and find out exactly what would God do. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. What would God do for somebody that's doing right? Somebody that's doing right, full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. What would God do for them? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you realize how good company you have in the wilderness? God has this thing for taking everybody into the wilderness. Everyone will have wilderness experiences. So you find yourself in this dry place spiritually. You seem like things are not, oh, what's going on? Welcome to the wilderness. Now there's a necessity in it that if we can learn it, then all of a sudden you could come up out of this wilderness experience the correct way. You don't have to die in the wilderness. Okay. So Jesus, according to the scripture, look at verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So being in the wilderness does not necessarily mean you've done something wrong. So even Jesus had a wilderness experience. Everyone will have wilderness experiences. Now, go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. Now, this is a hard thing to swallow sometimes, but I want to show you something. I've seen this in my own life when I was in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 12, verse 36, the Bible says, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So now, this is God getting ready to bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt. So he's getting ready to lead them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And he loads them down with all this stuff. They got jewels, they've got changes of clothing, they've got gold, they've got all of these things. But I want you to know, your stuff has no value in the wilderness. He loads them up, and it has no value in the wilderness. It's still gold. It's still jewels. It's still precious items, but they have no value in the wilderness. What you gonna do with it? See, there's in the wilderness, it will take you to a place where all your stuff, all your accolades, all your accomplishments, all the things that you have been able to achieve will have no value. Because what God is doing is greater than all of your stuff. Because what he is doing is with you, not with your stuff. And every one of us will have wilderness experiences. The thing is, learning how not to die there. Look at Exodus 13 and 17. I alluded to this a little earlier, but I'll give you some text for it. Once again, we're talking about God bringing the children of Israel up out of Egypt. So Exodus 13 and 17 says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that the Lord, look at this. When Pharaoh, okay, now they're free. That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. So that's the short route. So it wasn't their decision, it was God's decision. Yes. Do you know it's God's decision sometimes to take you the long route? Yes. Yes. He ain't caring if you know the short route. Because what you need is the long route. Yes. See, sometimes because we think, well, you know, like, God must not know this route over here, so I need to tell him. His GPS must not be working. I need to let him know. This, Lord, we could just go this way. He said, no, even though that was near, I'm not taking him that way. Now, look at this. Although that was near, for God said, not the people, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. In other words, I'm not taking them that way because I know they'll get scared and go back into Egypt. Do you know it's things that God don't show you because he know you ain't ready for it? Yes. I know you man of faith and power, woman of God, but it's stuff that God don't show you because he know you ain't ready for it. Because he said, nah, they'll be scared and turn around. So he said, I ain't taking that route, although it was short. Now, I don't know how short this was, but I mean, you hear people talk about the whole journey in the wilderness could have been like three weeks or whatever. So I don't know if that was 3 weeks going this way or if they'd have took this way, it was less than 3 weeks. But the point is, this was a shorter route than the original route than the route that God took them. But he said, they don't need to go this way because they're going to get scared and run back. How many things in your life has God prevented you from being scared of because he didn't show it to you? Imagine where you at now. Peter said, this is what you're going to do. Now, you know, there was a stage in your life where Peter said, this is what you're going to do. You'd have passed out just from hearing it. Just hearing that that's what I'm going to, that's too much. Boom, you out. You know, just hearing it, let alone going through it. So it took you this long route. And now, lo and behold, here you are. Some of y'all, all y'all ain't always wanted kids all your life. The long route helped you to have them. Hallelujah. The long route. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Now look at this. But God led the people about, verse 18, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So God will sometimes lead you down a path that you would not ordinarily take on your own. Well, you ever look at your life and you look back and you go like, why did I choose this job again? I mean, you know, what exactly was happening in my life again? Why did I choose this? Because when you look back at hindsight, things look, I remember when it was time when I was in the Marine Corps deciding to come to college. And I chose to come out of all the places, North Carolina, and go to school at North Carolina A&T State University. You want to talk about the long route? It was a long route. I didn't know nobody here. What, never been through the only thing I had heard about Greensboro was the Klan. I'm for real. 1979, when they had the shooting, that's the only thing I heard about. That was it. And North Carolina A&T, the only two things I knew. You want to talk about the long route? So to come here, God will sometimes take you a route. And see, I didn't know that I'm coming to get my education. This is it. I'm coming, my education. In the midst of getting my education, I found myself at Evangel Fellowship on July 5th, 1987. Sitting in a little seat back there right in front of where Billy was sitting. I was sitting right there. I had my cousin sitting next to me. July 5th, 1987, the day after the 4th of July, in a service. I was in a service because some ladies invited us to church. Telling you the truth. They said the things that I needed to hear. They said, listen, you ought to come to our church. We got a lot of nice looking young ladies. I'll be there. Was there. See, I'm telling you, the long way. Y'all thinking God ain't, he working in all of this. I'm sitting there, sitting on that seat. I don't even remember what Pastor Lockett was preaching. I don't. But I remember it's just like God just said, like, it's time, Daryl. This is it. And I remember getting up out of my seat. I think remembering getting up. Because I don't know how else I got down the aisle. So I remember coming on up there, and I was standing up there. My cousin was sitting next to me. I ain't say nothing to him because I ain't care what he was doing. This was my long way. And I remember standing, I said, this is it. I'm giving that, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I'm surrendering right here. But now, why do you have to take me? Watch this. See, you talk about your life. Why you have to take me from Michigan overseas? Overseas. Then from overseas, never seeing Greensboro and choosing Greensboro, North Carolina, because of my education. Then choosing Greensboro, North Carolina, finding one church. What's the odds of me going to a church that I ain't never heard of? In a place I ain't never heard of. I only went one time. That was the time. That's the long way. If you look at that, that's got to be a lot of zigzags and all of that stuff. That would just have to look crazy on a map. But sometimes God would take you down a path you would not ordinarily go on your own. What did he use to get you to come to know him? See, you thought you were just, well, yeah, this is the way I am. No, uh-uh. God knows what's on the inside of you. Yes. And he used all of that to appeal to you coming to know him personally. Because, see, wilderness is a necessity. This ain't no thing, oh, I don't want to go through. It ain't about what you want to go through. Let me keep going. Let me keep going here. You know, I learned this. If you really want to, for those of us that would like to get out of the wilderness in a timely manner, the rest of y'all, that's I understand. You can stay there. I'd rather my name to be Joshua or Caleb. Amen. Amen. Oh, you get that later. Okay. The best way is always the way that God leads you. That's a good Selah statement. Yes. The best way is always the way God leads you. Because sometimes I have found out that we tend to think that we know the best way. And it's almost like, well, God, did you consider this? You know you're not more patient than God, right? The best way is always the way God leads you. So don't resist it. Don't fight it. All right, let's keep moving here. Got a little time. Number three. You ready? What we learn in our wilderness experiences is critical for us moving forward with God. I'm sitting up here saying that the wilderness is a necessity for us moving forward. So consequently, what we learn in our wilderness experiences is critical for us moving forward with God. Believe it or not, God wants us to learn something in this. You ever think, let's deal with something that we can identify with. Finances we can all identify with. Okay, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He said all the silver and all of the gold is his. God, won't you just rain down gold out the sky, fix my situation, I can go on. Wouldn't that be wonderful? One question, what did you learn? Hello? It's not that God doesn't like the ability. What did you learn? I mean, it's the same thing that you tell your children when you're trying to teach them something. Why don't you just give them everything they want? What did they learn? That they can get everything they want. See, the Bible says, Jesus said this, occupy till I come. How can we, that word occupy means to transact business in my name. How can you transact business in Jesus' name if you ain't learned what Jesus does? And remember, Jesus went the wilderness. How did he handle it? All right, y'all, come on. Let's go to Psalms 103, verse 7. Psalms 103, verse 7. So we're talking about how critical the wilderness is. So now there's something for us to learn so we can move forward with God coming out of this wilderness experience. So look at this. Psalms 103, verse 7. The Bible says he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So now let's just stop for a moment. Both Moses and the Israelites were in the wilderness together, right? So we have Moses, we have children of Israel. Now, it says he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses became intimate with God's ways while Israel observed his deeds. Because he made known, that word known is a Hebrew word, yada. It has to do with intimacy. So Moses becomes intimate with the way God does what he does. How intimate are you with God in the wilderness? Or are you just observing his deeds? Watch this. If you've ever been in the wilderness, you recognize that God has done miraculous things in your life. Maybe you were in the wilderness financially, but did you ever look back and think, why didn't you go under? Maybe you were having trouble in a relationship or something, or things in your family was all jacked up. Why didn't you lose your mind? See, he was sustaining you, watch this, with manna every day while you were in the wilderness. See, it wasn't that he wasn't sustaining you. It wasn't that you weren't experiencing things, but I just want to know, did you observe his deeds, or watch this, were you intimate with his ways? That determines what you're going to do in the wilderness. Because all of us going to have wilderness experience. And you, if you be honest, you watch people and you can see when they're in the wilderness experience. You see some people, that all they did was just watch what God did. Because see, God is always God. So he's always going to provide for you, even in the wilderness. But did you just watch him do that? Or did you learn something about it? Did you observe it? Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow, look at that manna falling every day. It's going to be here tomorrow, too. For 40 years, they got manna every day. And still didn't know what it really meant. Because when it came time, they complained and said, can you do any meat here too? Tired of eating this stuff. Give me something else. Never really realized that they were eating, the Bible says, angels' food. And see, we don't realize. No. Don't get mad at them. What about us? What about the manna he's giving you? Some of us, if you look at us in here, we look gorgeous. Everything is look like it's wonderful. But what about our background? What about what God brought us through in our wilderness experiences? Some of the families we came out of, okay, it's family reunion season. Now, you know some of us getting ready to go home is, oh, my God. Girl, listen, I need you to pray for me. We're going to our family reunion. My aunt, she has always been crazy. And I know she's going to be right there. I know she's going to be there. I can see her already. See, you know you come from a crazy family. So how is it that God kept you? See, these things are real. Don't just observe God's ways. I mean, don't just observe God's deeds. Be intimate with God's ways. What is he doing in your life? Why is he doing it? Lord, what is it in me that you want to get out of me? What is it that you want to put in me? What is this wilderness experience for? It's critical that if you're going to move forward, you got to learn. You got to learn something there. God wants to do something there. Boy, y'all got me all out there. I'm trying to come back here. But you know what's interesting? So the Bible says he made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Watch this. That means that God provided Israel with the same opportunity of intimacy that he afforded to Moses, but Israel rejected it. I'll show it to you in the text. But hear what I'm saying. It wasn't that Moses got special privileges with God. He gave the same opportunity to Israel, but Israel rejected it. So in our wilderness experience, it's not that somebody else is getting a special privilege. He's affording us all the same opportunity, but are we rejecting it? Let me show you a text. Look at New Living Translation, Exodus 20 and 18. New Living Translation, Exodus 20 and 18. Look at this. See, I'm talking about being a fort. What are we doing? How are we making the most of the wilderness experience? We in it. We got to be there. It's a necessity. Are we making the most of it? Look at this. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, look at this. And when they saw the flashes of lightning. Now, if you don't know what this is, they're on the mountain now that God said, when y'all come out, you're going to worship me. You're going to worship me here. So God says, listen, sanctify the people, Moses. I want to bring them to the mountain, and I want them to know that I speak to you. So I want them to hear when I talk to you. So God comes down on the mountain, literally. The mountain looked like it's on fire. Great big cloud of smoke and everything. And watch this. Now you got to understand how this look. God tell them, listen, stay away from the mountain. If you touch it, you're going to die. If any animal touch it, they're going to die. So now Moses calls to God and God's answered and they can hear it. See, we'd be so deep spiritually that we miss the voice of God. They were hearing God talk back to Moses. But now, listen to this. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, this is before God talked. This is just the processional. And when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance trembling with fear. It's so scary before God even talked. They're blown away. They have nothing to, there's no reference point for this. We ain't never seen nothing like this. Now, look at verse 19. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we're going to die. Okay, Moses, this is the plan. You go up there. Whatever he tell you, we'll do it. Just please don't let him talk to us. They had the same opportunity, but they rejected it. not God. Okay, now wait a minute. Wait. Emmanuel, God with us. He's affording the same opportunity, but are we rejecting it? In your wilderness experience, he's affording you the same opportunity, but is it too scary for you? God, this is too much. I don't know if I want to deal with all of that. I mean, you got to climb all the way up the mountain. Stuff look like it's on fire. Whew, what's going on? See, he's affording you the same opportunity. Are you rejecting it? Because notice, it wasn't God that said, well, okay, Moses, I just want to talk to you. He said, no, they can hear it. I want them to know. Then they said, no, from now on, you just go. You just go. You know, we'll just observe his deeds. We won't become intimate with his ways. Is it any wonder they backslid? I'm just saying. You know, we're not exempt from wilderness experiences because they're part of us learning to move forward in the things of God. It's a necessity. My last point, number four. Moving forward in the wilderness is dependent upon who you know and not what you know. Moving forward in the wilderness is dependent upon who you know and not what you know. I know we like to say in life, it ain't what you know, it's who you know. That's true in the wilderness too. I imagine some folks was really good at a lot of stuff in the wilderness. But who do they know? Who are you intimate with? Let me show you, give you some text for what I'm saying. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And we're almost finished. Matthew 7 and 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible reads, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, it's interesting because both groups knew how to build a house. So it wasn't what they knew. They both built the house. If you look at the text, the interesting thing, go back to verse 26, please. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now, they both knew how to build a house because they built one. It was because somebody done something and somebody didn't. Go back to verse 27. The rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now, if you look at verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now, that's in verse 27. If you look in verse 25, it says the exact same thing. So they both, watch this. They both knew how to build a house well. I know, we're giving y'all a minute to look at that. Everybody, they studying the scriptures now. It says the same exact thing. Same exact thing. Now, what's the difference, though? Jesus said the difference is when you take what I said and do it. So it wasn't what they knew, because they knew how to build a house. It was who they knew. Because know in the scriptures has to do with intimacy. So they were intertwined with Jesus enough to do what he said, not just hear what he said. I'm going to show you something. Jesus is able to tell them how their house will stand because he's been in a wilderness experience. So now he's telling us how to survive the wilderness if we will listen. The wind is going to blow. The rain is going to descend. It's going to beat on the house you know how to build. But I want to talk about your foundation. I want to talk about what that nice structure is built on top of. I want to talk about the thing that, watch this, that nobody sees in the wilderness. Because as beautiful as the house is, nobody sees the foundation. But that's what Jesus is talking about, is the foundation. So he is telling us it's not what you know, it's who you know. All right, let me show you. Go back. Now we started. I know you said, well, Pastor, you jumping around. Oh, no, I'm going to show you something. I'm really going back to what you read in the beginning. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. See, sometimes people think Jesus is talking about something that he's not really talking about. Sometimes we miss it. That's why he said, I speak to them in parables. Let's see. In essence, seeing or hearing, and they repent. But see, that's what it is. People think that he's talking about something that he's not. Look at this. So Jesus says, the Bible says about Jesus, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, just like he talks to you in the wilderness, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So, Pastor, you're talking about what foundation in here. You're talking about the house standing and all that. I don't get it. Well, let me see if I can help you. Wilderness exposes what we're standing on as we seek to move forward. Okay. Wilderness exposes what we're standing on as we seek to move forward. See, because all of us look the same until we get into the wilderness and it exposes what we're standing on. Okay. Miss Jackie, can you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, please? You know, that's the scripture we first start reading on. And I know people just kind of read right on through that. But I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3, please. And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, what is Luke chapter 4 again, when Jesus is talking to the enemy, and what is he saying? Doesn't he say, it is written? In other words, this is what I'm standing on in the wilderness. Doesn't he say, I got a word from God, so this is what I'm standing on in the midst of my wilderness experience? Doesn't he let the enemy know that this is what God says? And because this is what God says, this is what I'm standing on? Notice Jesus gives the actual remedy or solution for how to get out of your wilderness. It's to stand on the word of God in the midst of the wilderness. That's why it's so critical what we learn, because Jesus had learned that the way to come up out of this wilderness is to stand on the word of God. Because everything else will change, but the word of God will not. So Jesus comes all the way back around, thousands of years after the writing of the book of Deuteronomy. And after the enemy is there, after 40 days, there's one day representing every year that they spent in the wilderness. Jesus said, well, let me show y'all how to come up out of here. Enemy comes to him and tempts him. And when you're looking at it, he's tempting him in the desire of his flesh. He's hungry. He is hungry. Now, for those of us that have been deep or whatever, Jesus was hungry. When you don't eat for 40 days, you get hungry. So the enemy comes to Jesus with all of Jesus' ability. Notice, he's not lacking ability. Because the enemy says, why don't you turn these stones to bread? The enemy wouldn't say turn the stones to bread if he couldn't turn the stones to bread. So he's not lacking ability. See, in the wilderness, you don't use your ability for you. It ain't about you. These are the things that you have to learn in the wilderness, though. You have to learn. Listen, yes, you are anointed. Yes, God is going to use you. But I want you to know that ain't for you. That ain't to get your sign, your name on the sign and the banner. That ain't for you to be all that in a bag of chips. You a sign and a wonder. That ain't why God is using you. That's not what it's about. So Jesus says, let's deal with the foundation. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember, the Bible says God humbled them. They hungered. And he fed them with manna to see if you will learn something. See what you've learned. Did you learn that the foundation is the word of God? The foundation is what I've spoken over you. The foundation is the word that I've given you. Do you know people actually abandon the word of God in the wilderness? Because they don't like getting that manna every day. They don't like having to go through this and believe God every day for something. I'm tired of that. I want to do my own thing. So you abandon what God said. Some people are content to die in the wilderness. What do you mean, Pastor? See, God's going to watch this. And this is sad. But see, God is a provider. God has never been indicted for non-child support. He takes care of his children. But some of us are so lazy, we don't want anything. We just want wilderness. The promised land has everything. But you know what? The day you step foot in it, the manna stopped. Amen. Because you were supposed to learn something in the wilderness. Isn't there a day going to come where you go like, you know, listen, you're my child, but, you know, we shouldn't be nursing you at 10 years old. There's a place where it's supposed to stop. Because now I'm expecting you to learn how to feed yourself. All this time I was preparing you to come to a place where you feed yourself. See, some of us, I want to be a lap baby forever. You 35 years old, you still a lap baby. Spiritual lap baby. See, these are people that's dying in the wilderness. They're going to just die off. Because watch this. When you really look, how much faith did they have in the wilderness? Obviously not enough. They died there. All right, let me close. Give me just a few minutes. Let me close. Okay. I'll close with Deuteronomy 8:3 there, please. Let me go back there. I'll close with that since we started there. When you look at this, he said he humbled them, suffered them to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know, that he might make thee know, that he might make thee know. All of it had a reason. What is God trying to make you know? What is he trying to make you know in your wilderness experience? You know what we really get caught up in? How we were humble, how we suffered, not what he's trying to make us know. It was a purpose all along. God is not up in heaven, some tyrant that wants to see us suffer and all of this. It's something he's trying to cause us to know. And Jesus knew it. That's how he came up out the wilderness. He knew it was standing on that word no matter what. In other words, I can trust God no matter what it looked like. He is absolutely trustworthy no matter what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, I can trust him. May not look like there's a way out, but I know a God who is able to part the Red Sea. May not feel like I'm going to get out of this, but you know what? David was trapped in the wilderness. And God was able to make a way of escape for him. Feel like I need to retaliate sometime. But no. Just like God showed David, even though you cut off the garment from Saul, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You don't have to get your own way. You don't have to have revenge in your heart. I got this. You can trust me. And when Saul and Jonathan died, it was not at the hand of David. Because God dealt with it. If we can trust God with every area of our life, then we have learned how to come up out this wilderness. Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father and our God, I thank you. Lord, many of us have gone through wilderness experiences, and Lord, we've not always learned the things that we should. And God, there's some things that you're still trying to teach us. Some of us find ourselves in wilderness experiences now, Lord, and I pray that they've heard this word, that it's not just about what they're going through, how things are affecting them, how much they don't like it. But Lord, help us not to be like the children of Israel were, who murmured and complained. And God, serpents rose up and bit them, fiery serpents. But Lord, I pray that we would not be like that, but we would understand that there's something you're trying to cause us to know about you. Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love, that you've destined and purposed great things for us because you're taking us somewhere far greater than where we are. I pray, Lord, that even in this time and this season that we may be facing individually as well as corporately, that we are open enough to hearing from you, that we're finding ourselves loving you and trusting you with our very lives. Jesus, you have given us the example of how to handle the wilderness, and it's standing on the word of God. I pray today, Lord, that you would bring back to the remembrance of each and every one of us every word that you've spoken to us, everything that you've caused us to hear concerning our wilderness experience, that we would move forward and bring glory and honor to you. God, I pray that not one of us would die in our wilderness, but we would see the glory of our King. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you know you've heard this message from Pastor, what are you talking about, the wilderness and all of this? Listen, more important than the wilderness or the wilderness experience for you, I want to address this. There is no peace, there is no joy apart from Jesus Christ. Everything else is a facade. It is something that has been created, and it's simply... for lack of a better way of putting it, it fools people into thinking they're happy, fools people thinking that they're living enriched lives. There's no life apart from Christ. He said in John 10:10 that he's come that we might have life and that more abundantly. If he's come that we might have life, it is an indication that we really didn't have it before. The kind of life that God wants us to have is in fellowship with him. The only way we have that fellowship is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. it was necessary for us to have fellowship with him. And we don't have life unless we have that fellowship with him. Maybe you're here and you're backslid. You realize I was in fellowship with Christ and I got away. I wandered, I strayed away, and I found myself entangled with the things of this world. And now my life is spiraling out of control. I've got good news for you. The good news is God loves you with an everlasting love, and he's willing to take you back right now. You don't have to keep living like that. You don't have to live beyond your purpose. You know, each and every one of us, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto a man once to die, then the judgment. Every one of us will die and will enter into the judgment. If you were to die right now, where would you open your eyes at? Would you be in the presence of the Lord? Because the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But it also says that there was a man who died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. So there are two realities: in the presence of God or hell. What you do now determines where you spend the rest of eternity. Hell is your choice, or heaven is your choice. Both of them are your choice. These are not choices God is making for people. These are choices people are making for themselves. God is not sending people to hell. People are choosing to go there. God created heaven as a place of fellowship with him. The only other place he created was hell. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. He never created hell for people. But the only other place God has for people that do not want to be with him is hell. So it's a choice. It's every individual's choice. So today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your only way out of hell is through Jesus. That's the only way. Or you recognize, listen, I want to rededicate my life. I want to have fellowship with God. I want to walk with him now. And I realize I've strayed. I've gotten off track. Listen, if there's anyone here while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, I just want you to raise your hand as an indication. That's me, Pastor. I need to rededicate my life. Or listen, I need to be saved. That's where I'm at. If that's you, I just want you to raise that hand. Hallelujah. I want you to think about your soul. This is bigger than your job. This is bigger than who you're going to marry. This is your soul. I want to make sure that we're in right relationship with God today. Is there anyone? Bless the Lord. Well, praise God. Let's put our hands together.